In today's episode, we talk about visions from God and how they can be used to help us intercede. Hey there, welcome to the Five by the Fire podcast. I am your host, Armand Sheffy, aka Pastor Fury. And I'm also the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a family of missionaries that exists to help the marginalized experience freedom in Jesus through equipping and empowering disciple makers called to the forgotten. Now today, we're going to continue on in our reading in the McShane Bible Reading Plan, and today we come across Zechariah, chapter 1 of Zechariah. Now, the book of Zechariah is a little bit different than many of the other books of the prophets. This one contains multiple visions. I think it's great that we're actually reading at the same time that we're reading Revelation, which is another book that contains visions, right? Visions from the Lord to bless his people and show them what is to come. In Zechariah, first of all, when we read a lot of the books of the prophets, there's a theme that is very clear that I think we would do well to really grab a hold of. It's this theme of God showing us our sinfulness, our needfulness of him and his grace and mercy, and then consequences of our sin, right? The judgment that is coming, and then him calling us to repent. Calling we see throughout the Old Testament and throughout the books of the prophets, him using the prophets to call the people to repentance, that they would turn back to the Lord, and then a time of refreshing and renewal and restoration would follow. But in this book, in Zechariah, it's actually a book where we're seeing visions coming to the prophet Zechariah. And it starts off in chapter 1 where there is a call to return to the Lord that has gone out, and we see that the generations prior did not do well in responding to that. They talk about the former prophets crying out, and the generations or fathers before that, that they did not respond. And it actually gives us a great reminder of the finality of our physical life here on earth. He says verse 5, says, "Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever?" Letting you know, like, there's a span that your life is on earth, the physical form, right? Even the prophets had their own time of living. And the prophet's role was to speak of return, and the fathers, the generations of men that had gone before, men representing mankind, humanity that had gone before, were to respond as the prophets are speaking the word of the Lord, to respond. And yet, whatever the response was, they all died, right? They are all physically gone, but they're not gone forever. They, as is true of the word of the Lord, are existing in eternity, but their existence is dependent upon their response. Like the prophets who we know are living in eternity with the Heavenly Father, are our fathers, the generations, mankind before us, are they living in torment because they did not repent, or are they living in the light of God in his presence as they did repent? And so then there's this understanding as we look at verse 6 that because of the wrath that came down, because of God's judgment that was not waiting until the very end, that they received some of while they were alive on earth, many did repent. Many in the next generation did actually go ahead and repent. And it says that in verse 6, it says, "So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts proposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so he has dealt with us." So they recognized that there was justice in the way that God responded to them. And so they're repenting. And so now we see in verse 7, I believe through like 17, the first of eight visions that the Lord is giving Zechariah. Visions of kind of like the beginning, the process of his restoration of his people, the renewal of his people. So that makes this book rather unique in the way that it uses the prophetic language and the covenantal language to speak to us about not just, hey, repent, 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 but what does it look like after you've repented as the Lord, you know, works his restoration and his renewal in his people. And so today we'll just briefly talk about the first vision. And here we see it's a vision of a horseman. Let me just read that and then I'll briefly share it and then we'll pray and we'll be out. Verse 7. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. Like, whoa, that's kind of ominous, right? You're just in the middle of the night, there's a red horse that would clearly stand out. He was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red sorrel and white horses. Sorrel is a word, a Hebrew word traditionally meaning brown. So we got red, brown, and white horses that are all behind this man who's standing on a red horse, riding on a red horse. Then I said, what are these, my Lord? The angel who talked with me said to me. So here's a point. There's an angel there who's talking to him and who's describing this scene to him. He said, I will show you what they are. So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered, these are they whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. So it's a group of angels, right, that are being sent by God to patrol the earth. Right? And they answered, the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth remains at rest. Now that's an interesting thing. All the earth remains at rest. The world at rest. It could mean a couple of things. What the first thought would be that, oh wow, like there is already this understanding of Christ has come, all has been renewed, and we are at peace. But like, that's not the state of things right now. There's actually significant wicked that is running all throughout the land, right? And the people of God have now, they themselves have now repented and returned to the Lord, but the earth is at rest. Don't you know that it's true that in the land of sin, right, often people who have given themselves to sin, they're in a place of comfort with it. They're not even stirred up that this sin is an issue. So they are in this place of rest. And I believe that's what these horsemen are recognizing as they patrol, that the earth, like they're just all comfortable. Everybody's comfortable in the wickedness. It says in verse 12, then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah against which you have been angry these 70 years? So there's been the judgment that had been coming upon the people of God. And it said, how long is this going to last? It says, and then the Lord answered gracious and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. So the angel who talked with me said to me, cry out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. So we have once again this language, this covenantal language of God being jealous for his people, like really wanting again their full hearts and full devotion. It says, and I am exceedingly angry with the nations that are at ease. Ah, see, there it is. God's now bringing back his people into the fold. He's like, y'all are coming home with me. And I'm angry at those people, the rest of the world that is at peace right now, that is at rest, that is at ease. So we're seeing a reversal of the fortunes while the Lord had for 70 years been bringing his wrath on his people to call them to repentance. Now his anger is on the rest of the world. He said, for while I was angry but a little, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with mercy. Come on, he's got mercy for his people. My house shall be built in it. So he's calling them to restoring the temple, to building the temple, declares the Lord of hosts, and the measuring line, which is a vision we'll get to in another chapter, shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Cry out again. Thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and again choose Jerusalem. He's talking about the fact that he is restoring his people. He is giving them yet again a place of comfort within him. And he's going to now focus his attention on the rest of the world. The rest of the world that is at peace, that is at ease. So we can see in this first vision that almost immediately, as the people of God are turning back to him, repenting, right? Desiring yet again fellowship with him, his hand of judgment is lifted, right? And now we have a merciful experience, a gracious experience, the face of God yet again turning on his people. And those who continue to live at ease, at peace, at rest, are now going to receive the judgment. And the hope is, the cry of our heart should be, that they too would experience a revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ, and they themselves would turn, right? They would be shaken from their ease and seeking just rest, actual rest, eternal rest in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit. So we see a vision of that. And now I think our heart should be as the heart of intercessors here. I love how he said, cry out. Cry out, thus says the Lord of the hosts. I don't even know if he's really talking to us right there, but my heart is, as I read that, was as if God was calling us to intercede on behalf of those who are still at ease, who are still enjoying rest, that we would cry out to the Lord for their salvation. So right now, would you join me in crying out on behalf of those right now who are at ease? Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us, if we are walking in Jesus Christ, you've given us true peace, true rest. Though it may not be easy, Lord, though it may not be without challenge, Lord, we know that your burden is light and your yoke is easy, Lord God. And we ask that we would just continue to walk in your strength and in your power, Lord God. And as we walk, Lord God, we pray that you would use us to speak life over those right now who don't know you. To speak words, not of comfort, but of truth. Speak words with love, salted and peppered, seasoned by your truth, by your love, and that they would be used by you to bring about salvation, Lord God. We cry out on behalf of those that don't know you right now, that a light would dawn right now, a light would dawn in their dark world right now, that they would come to know the peace that passes all understanding, that they would reject the false rest that they are experiencing right now, and they would seek something greater, Lord God. Give them a hunger, a thirst for righteousness that only you can quench. Show them your reality. Show them the revelation of who you are. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys, now go walk this thing out today as those that are experiencing the renewal, the restoration, the revival of the Spirit of God in your life. And as you do that, I know that God will use you to be an aroma of Christ through the world that is dying and in darkness. Go be the light today. And make sure that you come back here tomorrow, because we're going to continue to go through the rest of this McShane Bible reading plan the rest of the year. Make sure you hit up 5bythefire.org. Subscribe over there. And go to freedomstorymedia.com. Subscribe on the podcast network there. We believe that there's going to be some more podcasts that are going to be joining that in 2022. You don't want to miss all that. And the podcast of Five by the Fire, though, we're going to end this year. We're going to be continuing to share those episodes going forward into 2022. So stick around. And I hope to see you back here tomorrow on Five by the Fire. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.